Parshas Acharemos Kedoshim Tuf Shin Pei. Another shir on Zoom, another week at home in quarantine. And a lot to discuss this week in this week's Parsha. Kind of going back now from discussing the various korbanos and some kind of topics that are a little foreign to us to this week's Parsha, which is also this week's Parshios, I should say. This week's Parshios. Welcome Aaron. Welcome Aaron Parnes. To this week's Parshios that have some things that are foreign to us, and when I say foreign, I mean that we don't deal with on a daily basis, and then really dives into a lot of the daily activities of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and Bein Adam L'Makom, and a lot of things in Parshas Kedoshim that are really L'maisa. So we'll have a lot to talk about tonight, and we'll try to maximize our time. It's interesting to note that this week, Parshas Acharemos Kedoshim, when the Parshas are read together, which I think is typical. It actually has the most mitzvos out of any other parsha or combined parshios that are read together in the Torah. I think Kiseitze has by itself 73 or so, but Acharemos Kedoshim has almost 80. I think 78 is the count, or 79 when you combine the two parshios together. So it's a lot to discuss, and really holy parshios that mamish contain the bulk or a huge chunk of the Tariq mitzvos that we have in the Torah. So just a high-level summary, right after, in the beginning of Acharemos, right after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's children, Hashem warns against entering into the Kodesh without Rishus, without in an improper time. And this year should be Lizachus Refuah Shleima to all those who are ill from the virus and everyone else who's in the hospital or needs a Refuah Shleima and Klai Yisrael in the whole world. And should have Refuah Shleima Karav Mamish. And there's a chus of our learning Torah tonight. So that's the beginning of Acharemos. It mentions that, kind of goes back to that story a little bit. And then it talks about the Kohen Gadol and how only once a year he's able to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the innermost chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, to offer the Ketores to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's brought down that's really combining all different kinds of Kedusha together. You have the holiest person, the Kohen Gadol, during the holiest time, which is Yom Kippur, in the holiest place, in the Makom HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, so you have Kedusha in time, in place, and in person, coming together, combining. It was mamish, an incredible, awesome, amazing experience, maybe the most amazing experience we can have in Olam Hazeh, or the Kohen Gadol was able to have, but on behalf, as a Shliach, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And then the Parsha Acharemos talks about the warns against bringing korbanos anywhere but in the Beis HaMikdash, and forbids one to be able to to consume blood. You can't eat dam, and a lot of other details about the rayos and all the yisurim around that. And then Parshas Kedoshim starts off with, we know Kedoshim Tiyu, which we'll talk about tonight, which I'm able to talk about it because it's the first year I'm giving this round, this cycle of Parshios. There's always what to say about it, but we'll go through some of the primary and some of the not maybe as less famous and less talked about Makaris on it. But the Jew is, there's many mitzvos through which in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah talks about where a Jew has to sanctify himself, and as they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to holiness, and talks about not doing Avodah Zarah, and the mitzvah of Tzedakah, and the principle of equality, you know, and Shabbos, and being moral and honest, and honoring your parents, being in awe of them, and just living a life of Kedushas Hashem, of Kiddush Hashem. And we know also it's a famous dictum of Rabbi Akiva, V'yahavta v'yach kamocha in Parshas Kedoshim. So there's tons of mitzvahs, tons of ideas that are l'maisa, and let's not spend too much more time on the introduction, and we can dive into the makaros. So to start off, we have the pasuk in the beginning of Acharemos. And the pasuk says, V'chol adam lo yeh ba'o moed bevo lechaper ba'kodesh ad seso, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso uva'ad kol kehal Yisrael. So the pasuk goes ahead in the beginning of Acharemos, in Perek Tezayin, pasuk Yedzayin, and it tells us that when the Kohen Gadol would go ahead and go in, so just looking right here to look it up inside so I could see it clearly also, so no one was able to go into the Olam Moed, right? You're not allowed to go into the Olam Moed. When he enters to go ahead, when the Kohen would go in to go ahead and get atonement in the Kodesh, and he would go ahead and until his departure, and he would provide atonement for himself, They had basil for his entire household, about kol kahal Yisrael, and for all the Jewish people. So just to start off, before we get into Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, but they say a maisa, right, that I think it's about the Kutzker, maybe they say it probably by many Hasidic Rabbeim, that I think the Kutzker said, I spent my whole life trying to change the world and trying to fix everyone else, and I'm realizing it's not possible. So I decided, instead of trying to change the whole world, instead I'll try to change my city, tried to change my entire city, my entire town, and I failed. It's just not possible. So I decided I'll work on my neighbors in my street, and I worked on the people there, but it's just not working. Until I realized that finally, what do I need to do? I need to change myself. I need to work on myself. I need to go ahead, and I first need to change myself, and only then can I change others. So the Kohen Gadol here in the Raya for this is from this pasuk. That the Kohen Gadol first, what? Has to change himself. The Chiper Ba'ado, he has to change himself. Uve'ad Beso, then he goes ahead. And he's Mechaper for the families, and his family, and in Bad Beso, everyone in his household. And then, Kol Kal Yisrael. Has to start from within. Just a nice Hasidish idea. The Kutzker from this pasuk really is the Raya for that. So Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, actually, I just saw this and I was like, how could I not say this tonight, even though there's so much to speak about, because it's just so nogea for us right now and what we're going through in the world and in our homes. So he says, V'chol Adam lo yebel emoed. So Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky in his book on Chumash, a beautiful book with different vortlach and ideas, this portion of the Torah conveys the instructions of the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the one day of the year in which you can go into Kodesh Kadashim. The Torah states no one may be in the sanctuary when the high priest enters the Holy of Holies. Well, no one's allowed to be there anyway, ever, but especially when he's in the Holy of Holies. We find something analogous to this at Har Sinai, when Hashem told Moshe that only he could approach him, and that all others had to remain at varying distances. So there's this idea, these two auspicious occasions required solitude, in which one man was alone with God. Both the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadoshim and Yom Kippur, and Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, were alone with the Ribono Shel Olam. Indeed, the Talmud Yerushalmi states that even the Melachim weren't allowed to be in the sanctuary when the Kohen Gadol was there. It was total solitude, only man with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rabbi Twersky, and this is really what's Lamaisa, I read it and I was like, wow, he's like talking to us. As a rule, isolating oneself from others is not advantageous. As we know, as we see, our whole world right now is turned upside down. It's terrible. We should learn to live together, to share with one another, and to yield their own comfort and convenience to be of help to others. But every so often, a person should have some solitude, away from everything and everyone. Many of our great leaders set aside specific time for his both of solitude and meditation. So he says, what are we supposed to do during this time? So says Rabbi Twersky, at such times, a person should consider what it would be like if there was no other beings in the world, only himself and Hashem. What would his behavior be like then? No one around to impress, no one to appease, no one to imitate. No one else's values to adopt, just oneself and Hashem. One would certainly seek an intense closeness to Hashem and do everything possible to achieve it. And after such solitude and reflection, you have to go back to reality. There are other people around, our families, our friends, our community, and it's inevitable that we'll be distracted from a constant and total communion with Hashem. But we can then ask ourselves how much distraction is absolutely necessary. Do we allow our relationships with others to unnecessarily distract us from our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do we perhaps do things because we wish to impress others with our importance, things that we would not do in the absence of people? And he goes ahead and says that this is what we can learn from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And granted, he says, it's but a brief period of time during the year, but it should serve as a reminder of what the ideal goal in life should be and enable us to maximize our attainment of that goal. Very powerful words of Rabbi Twersky. Mamish, we're all in our solitude times now. Yeah, we have our kids around, our wives around, our families around, but you know, there's so much extra time that we have to ourselves that I feel I have to myself right now. Once the kids are in bed and the whole day, even throughout the day, if my wife's watching the kids, I have time to myself. What am I doing with that time? And this is what the Kohen Gadol Mamish could teach us, that it's important to have time for introspection, important to go ahead and use that time well, to value it, because this period will end, Mirtz Hashem, very soon, and then we're going to go back to reality. But what did we gain during this period? What did we accomplish? How did we focus on our moments and time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we had alone? We were able to mamish daven to Hashem, and it's just us and Hashem, not worrying about everyone else's Shemona Esrei and how long the minyan is, and 35 minutes, and 40 minutes, and 38 minutes, and it's a laning day, and a non-laning day, and if you lane at home, you don't lane at home, but But it's just you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. No one knows what you do at home. No one cares what you do at home. And no one cares what you do around others too. That's the vart, right? Everybody thinks everybody else is really always thinking about them and worried about judging them. And that's also in this parasha that you should, you know, judge favorably. But tzedek tzedek tishpot amitecha. But a person should go ahead and realize it's all trivial. It just doesn't matter. It's what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu think of me? That's really what Rabbi Abraham J. Torsky is saying, and that's what's important. It's a beautiful idea just to open up from the beginning of the Parsha Sacharimos. So next, we have a pasuk later on, a few pasukim later, Yudches Kaf Aleph. So the pasuk tells us, "Umizaracha lo sitin lahavir lamolech velo sechala l'shem Elohecha ani Adonai." And you shall not give any of your children to pass through from molech. Molech was a form of avodah zarah. And you shall not profane HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, I am Hashem. So, the Ramban, a lengthy parish on this, I only quoted a piece of it to draw one point, because the obvious question is that, right, why is this even necessary as a pasuk? Melech, we know, was a form of avodah zarah where you would give over your child, and they would like pass him through the fire. Sometimes the children would even go ahead and mamish be killed; they would die. But it's like it's a pella a little bit, right? It's a little strange. Why does the Torah even need to tell us this and tell us that it's a chilul shem Hashem at the end, right? That it's where am I makaris? That it's lo sechala Hashem lokecha ani Hashem. Of course, it's a chilul Hashem. You're doing avodah zarah. Of course you shouldn't do this. It's avodah zarah. Why is there a specific iser to go ahead and tell us specifically about this form of avodah zarah? It seems a little unnecessary. It seems unnecessary. So, and it seems that there's a second prohibition the Torah is adding, that there's not just a concept of avodah zarah, nisar molech, or avodah zarah in general, but there's also a chil Hashem going on. And that's the point of this pasuk. And that's what the Ramban basically says. And the Ramban makes another point, but he says as follows. V'hisker bo chil Hashem, ki kasher yishmu agoyim shakavid es ha-moylech, bizarov yakar v'hemto korban, l'shemhu chil Hashem. That when the non-Jews, when the Umas Ha'olam hear that a person went ahead and Jews offer honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by sacrificing their children through this Moylech, instead of going ahead and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will be a tremendous Chil Hashem. So I saw quoted a beautiful extrapolation from this Ramban, an idea we can really take with us. What's the Ramban adding? So Ramban's telling us that we care what the Umas Ha'olam are going to think of us, because that's going to create the Chil Hashem. Rabbi Fran quoted from a Rav David Kviat in a Sefer Sukkas David. Sukkas, I think it talks about Sukkah a lot. It's a couple Svarim, I'm sure many, but it observes the concept as follows from this Ramban based on this Pasuk. That a person can cause a Chil Hashem by showing greater dedication and honor to some other area in life more than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a phenomenon which is a lot less foreign to us than Molech. He speaks about it in the context of Chil Hashem in general. That what the Ramban is telling us is that when a person prioritizes something ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He's offering korbanos. His son is avodah zarah from Molech. The zarah of Yaakov v'hemto korban l'shemu v'chil Hashem. It's going to be a Chil Hashem. That is showing other people that our priorities are really messed up. That we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're going ahead and desecrating Hashem's name. So it's the same, it can relate to us on our everyday in our everyday lives. What upsets us in life? What do we get worked up about? What bothers us? Was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu might, we did an Avera and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship with him isn't straight right now, and we need to do tshuva and work on it? Or is it, you know, I don't know, I lost a little money in the stock market today, or I can't find something, I misplaced something, and I'm all upset about it because I really wanted to find that thing and use it today. What is it? What's Iker and what's Tuffel in life? And that's really what we can learn from this Ramban. What the Torah, to be more worried about something that's less important is in some way, if others see that, a chil Hashem. And that's what the pasuk here is teaching us based on this Ramban from not serving Moloch. So moving on to the next source number 5. So we have the beginning of Kedoshim. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe l'mor. Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem. Pasuk says, Hashem talks to Moshe and tells him to talk to all of B'nai Yisrael. Tell them they should be holy people because I am holy. I am a holy God to them. So, first of all, the Malbim goes ahead and he discusses what exactly is the definition of Kedoshim. That's why I brought the Malbim here. Malbim writes, HaKedusha hi HaPrishus V'ha'isnasus mikol darchei hachomer. So the Malbim a lot of times defines words and terms, and he says kedusha means to separate oneself from all of physicality. V'hateva el inyonev nafshim elokim gvoim v'nelon mikol inyonei habasar. So Ramban says that the concept of kedusha means to go ahead and to separate oneself, to remove oneself from all of physicality. And Rashi quotes a similar idea. Rashi says, right, we'll read both Rashis because they're both important. The first Rashi says, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. You might think separate oneself means, okay, like the Rabbi Tversky started off with, we started with Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky in the beginning, you should literally separate yourself from the world and from everybody else. Says the Torah says no. Get everybody together. Melami chenemar parshas ubahakil was said to the entire congregation of Klai. So mnei shirov gufe Torah tzluyim bo, because the entire fundamental teachings of the Torah are dependent on this principle of kedoshim tiyu. So whatever it is, whatever kedoshim tiyu means, whatever it means to be separate, whatever it means to be this word holy, it's something very important according to Rashi, because Chazal tell us that rov gufe Torah tzluyim bo, the majority of the fundamentals of the Torah are toloi on this principle of kedoshim tiyu. So how does Rashi understand Kedoshim Tiyu? Rashi says, Heve Prushim min ha'arayus min ha'avera. Rashi says you should separate yourselves, again, a form of Prishus, the form of separation, but not just in general as from Chomrius, from all physicality and things, and as the Malbim said. But he says specifically from Arayus, from sexual immorality, from Averos, from that specific kind of sin. And he goes ahead and he says, Kol makom sha'atamotze geder erva, atamotze kedusha, isha zayna v'chalula, ani shemakadishchem. So he quotes a couple of proofs for this, that anytime it's kedusha, it's in that context. And that's Rashi's pshat, right? That it means to be pirish, to separate oneself from sexual immorality, from arayos. We know the Ramban kind of goes to town on Rashi. So the Ramban quotes Rashi. He says, "Have a prushim min arayos min avera shekomakom shatem matzei kedusha matzei geder erva tamatzei kedusha." Lashon Rashi. He says, but he saw sees right. You see the tayis about the tayis kahanim or you see stam prushim to you. I just saw prushim to you. It should be separate. Similar, maybe just separate in general. V'chein shan rusham v'iskadashtem v'isim kedoshim ki kadosh ani kishim shani kadosh kacha atemti kedoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just like I'm holy and separate, right? The Ribono Shel Olam is separate from the entire world. So too, you should be separate and holy as well. Kishim shani parush kacha atemti purushim. L'fi daiti, says the Ramban, ein haprishus hazu lifrosh min harayis kedever rav. I don't think it's right. I don't think it could be what Rashi says to separate from arayos, from sexual morality. That can't be what the Torah is telling us, kedoshim to you. Aval prishus hi hamuskeres b'chol makom b'talmud she be'aliyah nikraim prushim. But no, prishus here is what's mentioned throughout the Talmud, that I guess when they're an aliyah, in the attic or upstairs, they're considered separate, away. Ve'inyan ki atara is here be'arayos ve'umachol ma'asurim. Because the Torah goes ahead, we know, warns us against arayos and forbidden foods, against inappropriate and forbidden relationships and eating certain things. Ve'tira habia ish b'ishto v'achias basar yayin. But it permits certain types of eating foods that are enjoyable and having relations with one's spouse. Imkein yimza bala taiva makom liyos shtuf b'zimas ishto o nashiv harabois. Therefore, a person can go ahead and they could think to themselves, oh, I can be a Baal Taiva. I can go ahead and I can enjoy all the pleasures that the Torah permits. The Torah doesn't say that I can't have good steaks every night for dinner. The Torah doesn't say I can't have relations with my wife, whatever, all the time, as much as I want, whenever I want. And so I could do that. So the Ramban says that you would do these things, but you would become, I'm sure everyone has heard this term before, what the Ramban calls a novel b'rishus ha-Torah. You're despicable with the rishus of the Torah. The Torah permits you. You want to follow the letter of the law, kedasu kedin, right? We have some lawyers listening. You want to go ahead and follow the technicalities of what's forbidden and what's permitted? Yeah, you're doing it right. It's b'rishus ha-Torah, but you're still a novel, right? You could be a manuvel with the rishus ha-Torah, says the Ramban. Therefore, now what's the Torah doing saying Kedoshim to you? After the Torah forbade all these various Isurim, and it says, after it tells us about all these Isurim throughout Vayikra, and throughout Tazvi Metzera, it goes through various different things in Shmini and all the Machalos, Asiros, everything there. Now it's like, in general, you should even be more than that. You should separate Min Hamutar, Min Hamosaros, from that which is permitted to you. So this is a famous Ramban. The Ramban tells us Kedoshim to you means that a person should go ahead and sanctify and separate himself, not from Arayos, not from that which is forbidden, because why does the Torah need to tell us again to separate us from that which is forbidden? We know Rashi's little dochuk. The Torah told us what's forbidden. So what does it mean, Minah Arayos? The Arayos told us in Acharimos. You can't do the Arayos already. So what is Kedoshim to you? You don't need a second reminder. It means to separate from that which is even permitted, but which is despicable in the eyes of the Torah. Because a person would then be living a completely physical life, a life totally focused on hedonism and materialistic pleasures. And that's not what the Torah wants from us. The Torah wants more. The Torah wants a lot more. So Kedoshim to you is a prohibition from a person doing that which is permitted. And it's pointed out that this Ramban, it's not just, it's the Ramban saying it's a pasuk, Kedoshim to you. It's a commandment, it's a tzivoy Hashem, that you can't beat another b'rishus ha-Torah. That's a very important idea to digest. It's not just a nice fluffy idea in a sefer Musar, you know, it's not just the Mesillas Yesharim bringing this down, or Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah. This is a definition of Kedoshim to you, which is a pasuk mefurash in the Torah Shebichzav, according to the Ramban. The person needs to go ahead and can't be hedonistic and focus on physical pleasures throughout their life. Of course, you're not supposed to separate from them completely, and we'll talk about that soon. So this is the Ramban. If we look, the Sforno as well, the Sforno goes ahead and explains to us as follows. He gives us a definition. The Sforno in Parsha Shmini defines Kedusha. He says, V'hiskadashtem v'yisim kedoshim perush nitzchiyim. What does Kedusha mean? It means eternity. It means eternal. Mitnamim lebari yisbarach. It's similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So we are told to be infinite like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ka'amro ki kadosh ani. What does that mean exactly? To be infinite like HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't. We're human beings. So we'll talk about that shortly. But that's the Sforno's definition of Kedusha. Isn't just to separate, but it's to be nitzchi. It's to be something that's eternal, something that goes on forever. And if we look at source number 9, we have from Shem Shkab, the Shai Yashir, in his Akdama, he goes ahead and he quotes the Ramban, and he adds a new point, a new dimension to this whole idea of Kedoshim Tiyu. Shimon Shkab says as follows, in his Akdama Tshari Yosher, Lachein nir lani esdaiti, shebemitzvah zu, kolo kol yisoid, v'shoresh, magamas tachlis chayenu, that this mitzvah Kedoshim Tiyu has the entire focus and purpose of our lives. Shia kol avadosinu v'amalenu tamid mukdashim l'tovas haklal, that our entire avoda, our entire work in this world and all of our efforts that we put in constantly should be kadosh for what? The purpose for the better of the klal, for the better of the population, the people around us, for the world. Shelo nishtamish b'shum maisa tnuah hana v'tanuk shaliyah b'zeh eze inyan l'tov v'zul aseinu. Person shouldn't be engaged in any activity, pretty harsh words, shouldn't be involved in anything that's really selfish, that has no benefit for someone else. Says Rishkap, you might think then, how is it possible I'll never do a selfish act? How am I going to eat? How am I going to go to the bathroom? How am I going to sleep? No. The point is, because then when a person does for others, and they spend all the time that they can trying to help others, doing chesed, worrying about others, giving to others in time, in money, in whatever they can afford to, in a way to help others. So when they do that, everything they do for themselves is also helping others because they're allowing themselves to exist. They're allowing themselves to be able to be a misyaches to other people because if they don't eat and they don't drink and they don't sleep and they don't go to the bathroom, they're not going to be alive. And if they're not going to be alive, then they can't help others. So nothing is selfish, but it's all about your kavana. It's all about, and then not just your kavana, but what you do. What's your kavana for those selfish acts? And then what do you do during the time that you have to be able, that you're not focusing on yourself and taking care of your needs and your physical bodily needs that you have? So this is Rosh Kapp's idea. He takes it, he kind of pushes it outwards. He pushes it, not just focusing on myself. And like Rashi says, separating from Arayos, the Ramban says, no, even from something that's mutter, separating myself and not being a noble b'shus haTorah, but separating myself from Dover Hagashmim that can make me a despicable person. But he says it's about going ahead and also being involved with others. That you go ahead and being Kadosh means, Kedoshim Tiyu means to go ahead and be involved with others, to be part of the klal, to be part of a Jewish people, to be part of a community, to be part of a family, not to be alone, not to be in solitude, but to be connected and to give and not to be selfless. And that's a couple different pshatim. And the Sforno, just to elaborate, so the Sforno before, right, he connects this concept in an equation really between holiness and eternity. Visim kedoshim perush nitzchim. So to be holy means to be forever. The way Rabbi Meir Twersky Shlita from YU explains that it means to be forever preoccupied with that which is eternal. That's what he means. To be holy means to be forever preoccupied and busy with that which is true and enduring, and to resist the allure to that which is illusory, thereby becoming worthy of eternal life. How do we become Nitzchi as a person? We can't. We can't be Nitzchi. No. We can. We can be Nitzchi. How can we be Nitzchi? Because if we connect ourselves to Torah and Mitzvot, which are eternal, because the Ribbono Shel Olam created them for us, but the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Torah. So if we go ahead and we connect ourselves to the Torah, we are creating a life for ourselves that is eternal. We are being preoccupied with MS and something that lives on forever. And that's what this idea is. That's how you can connect it to the Rashi and the Ramban as well. It's not really a machlokas and how to understand it. Rashi and the Ramban are saying that involvement with arayos and indulgence with things that are completely hedonistic signify the ultimate preoccupation with life, with things that are transient and fleeting and passing and not eternal, things that are finite. And that's the very antithesis of Kedusha. It's the exact opposite of what Kedoshim Tiyu means, and that's what the Sforno is driving out by saying that it's something that needs to be Nitzchi. And just to conclude the point, is Rabbi Twersky said, what does a life of Kedusha entail? He said his father would tell him that it's a life focused and consecrated. It's a life that is totally, it's focused. You have a direction. Every day you have a mission. You have a goal. It's focus and consecration, and consecration, but it also, that assumes a certain sense of separateness, because separating oneself from the pursuit of pleasure has to happen in order to go ahead and allow yourself to focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam and spirituality. I think Rabbi Olbam often says that, he gives a mashal, but... Yeah, we'll say the mashal. So he says that there was, I don't usually tell stories of mashal so much, but Rabbi Olam says there was once a Jew. I think he quoted this from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky Zatzal, who I had the zechus of meeting once. But Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, the mashal comes from. He said, there's once someone on the corner asking for money. And Jews were walking by. It was a Jew asking for money, and he wasn't getting much money. But he saw his neighbor down the block was getting money. The guy was asking down the corner, so he went over to him and said, "What? How are you getting so much money?" He said, "Look how you're dressed. Look how I'm dressed. I'm wearing Hasidish garb. You're wearing a shirt and pants. Try it." So Jew says, "Okay, I'll try it." Puts on Hasidish garb. Sits down. People start giving him money. Starts to get a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there. But then he realizes the guy down the other block is getting even more than the first guy's getting, more than him. So he goes to him and says, "What's your secret?" "My secret? You see my sign here? I'm an einikel from the Baal Shem Tov. People see this sign that I'm a great-great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, and they feel bad. The great-great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov is so poor, and he doesn't have food, he doesn't have drink, he needs money, and they give me." Okay. So he makes a sign for himself. So he wears the Hasidish garb. He's sitting down with his sign, his grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, an einikel of the Baal Shem Tov, and people start giving him more money. But then he hears about the final neighbor. And the final neighbor is sitting there and getting the most money out of all of them. And he's all confused. It's like, what am I doing wrong? I mean, I'm getting more, but this guy's doing better than me. What could I do different? What are you doing? How are you getting so much money? Well, you see, I'm a ger. I'm a convert. And so when people see me, they feel bad. I grew up, I wasn't even Jewish, and I decided to become Jewish. And I have a sign here that says I'm a ger. So people go ahead and give me a lot of money. It works. I said, okay. So he goes back to his corner and he sits down in his Chassidish garb and he's holding one sign that says, "I'm an Einikel of the Baal Shem Tov," and another sign that says, "I'm a Ger." And obviously, it doesn't make sense. You can't be the Einikel of the Baal Shem Tov and a Ger unless the Baal Shem Tov is a Ger, but I don't think so. Maybe, who knows if the Baal Shem Tov existed. But you can't be an Einikel of the Baal Shem Tov and a Ger at the same time. It's a Stira. Says Rav Galinsky, that's what Olam Hazeh is with Olam Haba. That's what Gashmius is with Ruchnius. They can't go together. You can't be a ger and the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov at the same time. It's not going to work. And the guy got no money. And if you try to play in both worlds, you try to be an Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, try to live a life of Gashmius and Ruchnius and be involved and focus on your big house and focus on a nice car and focus on making a lot of money and that's the tachlis and that's the end of it all. That's what the focus, that's the ends. Then you're not going to be able to focus on Ruchnius and Torah and mitzvos and live a life properly of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's an avoidah to constantly work on it, but that's some of the ideas on Kedoshim Tiyu. So moving on with the time we have left, so later in the parsha, on Perek Yilches, Pasuk Hei, is that later on or earlier? Could be earlier. Pasuk tells us, "Shmartem es chukoysai ves mishpatai asher yaase oisam ha'adam v'chai bahem ani Hashem." You should safeguard the chukos, the laws and the statutes that I went ahead and I made for you, for them. And you should v'chai b'hem, should live by them, I am Hashem. So we know v'chai b'hem, the Gemara Darshan, v'chai b'hem, v'shalayomas b'hem, that a person should go ahead and pikuach nefesh, which has been very lamaisa in the last several weeks dealing with the coronavirus, is docha everything else, and every mitzvah. And that's the typical understanding of the Chai Behem. The mitzvahs were given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's an important premise to understand this, right? As strict as we are upon ourselves in keeping halacha and keeping Torah, a person needs to realize that the purpose of the mitzvahs is to live by. A person needs to live in this world and needs to stay alive. So you need to live by the mitzvahs. You need to live with the mitzvahs. So says the Chiddush HaRim in source number 11, first Ger Rebbe, he explains as follows, a different pshat in V'chai Bahem. He says, V'ne'ma asher yaseh adam V'chai Bahem. A person should do them and he should live by them. Tzadikim perishu, quotes in the name of tzadikim, V'chai Bahem b'li atzvus. The tzadikim explained that you should live with them, you should be happy with them, without sadness. He says, V'ani oimer, says the Chiddush Yarim, V'chai Bahem sheyitle es kol etzem ha'chaim shelo b'tayr. What does V'chai Bahem mean? It means that you should go ahead and make your entire life dependent and focused on Torah. Sheyeda she'in lo chiyas acheres elamei haTorah, that you should know v'chai b'hem, that the chiyas you have in your life, that the source of life for you is Torah and nothing else. K'mosha orim kihem chayenu, as we say kihem chayenu v'erach yamenu, that they're the length of our days. V'lachem mevarchim v'erchas ala kaina shama, v'chulei hamachez yinu shamas l'fgari meisim, miyad achari v'erchas ha-Torah. Says the Chiddush HaRim, a new kavana to have also when we daven shachar, we say v'erchas ha-Torah and ala kaina shama, that's why ala kaina shama comes right after v'erchas ha-Torah. Because v'erchas ha-Torah, and then talk about the reawakening of the soul that you went ahead and your neshama that is holy and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. Lahar shekol hachius ba rak me'atar. To realize that your entire life, your entire focus and purpose in the world only is from the Torah and for the Torah. Beautiful that way of understanding v'chai b'hem. Not your classical pshat of v'chai b'hem that you should live by the mitzvos and not die by them, but that a person should go ahead and make the mitzvos and the Torah the focus and central part of their life, to make it the most important part. The Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, he goes ahead, and it's a little, we'll see how much we get through, or if we skip around a little bit, but he also has a beautiful piece of V'chai B'Hem. He quotes in source number 12, V'shmartim Eschukosa, he quotes the Pasuk, Chazal Dar Sheva Pasuk, V'chai B'Hem V'loshi Amos B'Hem, Mikan Shepiuch Nefesh, Deiches Kiyom Mitzvos. He says, Unkelus explains the Pasuk, L'chai Alma. V'chein perish Rashi, v'chai b'hem lo'olam haba. Rashi and Unkelus explain this pasuk that you should live for them, what? That you should do mitzvahs in Torah, so you get a chelik in olam haba. Shim tomar ba'olam haza v'alo sofa humeis, ela l'chai b'hem lo'olam haba. If you want to say that you should live by them, well, eventually you're going to die, so what does it mean to live with them? It means olam haba. D'mash mes v'chai b'hem hi lo'olam, because v'chai b'hem implies eternity, v'chai, it's going to continue living. L'chor ha'pirushim elu soysim zezeh. Seems that these perushim of Rashi and Unkelus, which are what? Saying that it's living for Olam Haba, that's what the Torah and Mitzvahs do for you, they give you life in Olam Haba. And the fact that living in Olam Hazeh, the Gemara of V'chai Bahem is talking about Kiyam Mitzvahs and Shelo Yomas Bahem are seiser one another, because one's talking about Olam Hazeh, one's talking about Olam Haba. If he drushes Chazav V'chai Bahem, Kail Mitzvah Kiyam Mitzvahs, V'il if he targum perish Rashi, Kail V'chai Bahem Aschar Ba'olam Haba. Rashi and Uncle say it's talking about the reward you can get on Olam Haba for doing mitzvahs. So he asks that kasha, and he says as follows: Yishlomar de be'emes shnei pirushim elu ve'elu diver elokim chayim v'inyanim echad. Really, both pshatim, both explanations are one and the same. Again, the two explanations of the Gemara seems to say the chay behem is talking about living in olam hazeh. The chay behem is sholei yamas behem, that you should live a life in this world that the pikuach nefesh is deicha all other mitzvahs. So it's talking about a kiyam ha-mitzvahs while you live in Olam Hazeh. But Rashi and Unkelus say that V'chai B'Hem is telling us, no, do mitzvahs so you can get tzchar in Olam Haba. And that's what V'chai B'Hem means. So says Nesiva Shalom, it's not one's talking about Olam Hazeh, one's talking about Olam Haba, and two totally different concepts. They're the same thing. She'V'chai B'Hem kolo b'mashmosa beis ha-dvarim. V'chai B'Hem means both. She'Reishis inyan V'chai B'Hem hainu b'kiyam ha-mitzvahs she'kaimen b'chiyus. First V'chai B'Hem means what? That you have to be kind of mitzvahs while you're alive. That when a Jew does mitzvahs, he goes ahead and he does them with a fire and with an alacrity, with an excitement, with his entire body and all his limbs. Right, all mitzvahs you have to do every mitzvah you do, each specific mitzvah has to be done with focus and with excitement and with happiness. Kach gam ikim hamitzvah pole. That's how you have to do it. Gam im kiyuma be'ever mesuyim tzarech yudu yashkiya es kol ma'usel chiyusa v'kiyuma v'chai behem v'lo shiyamas behem. That's the first part. But he says as follows. V'inyan zehu gam ha'shor shor ha'makor v'shel chai behem shel v'chai behem l'olam haba. And this, though, is the source for Unkelus and Rashi's pshat that you should be v'chai behem for olam haba. Shomer Rakadosh Mekarlin, Sheshama ki hichrizu b'shamayim sheyudi mekaymes haTorah v'mitzvos Sheshama Shabbos b'chol tikdukim ach inu margish tainig haShabbos. He says that a Jew that went ahead and did all the mitzvos properly, but he didn't go ahead and feel the pleasure of Shabbos, didn't enjoy the Shabbos, didn't enjoy the mitzvos, but he did them. He gets a check in the box, but he didn't necessarily go ahead and live them. Hare kasher yadlo olam elyon yitnu chelko began Eden al shmiroso as haShabbos. He's going to get a chelik in olam haba in Gan Eden. It's going to be like a stool that's just sitting there. I think is the translation. It's going to be like a stool that's sitting there in Gan Eden. It's not going to move. He's not going to be anywhere good, anywhere special. Shagam sham lo yargish klum. He's going to be sitting there, even in the, that's the point. In Gan Eden, he's not going to feel anything. He's going to be stuck on a stool, just like he did his mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. He was stuck on a stool. V'hevin b'zeh. So here he brings it all together. That the enjoyment that a Jew is going to get in Olam Haba is depends upon what kind of pleasure and enjoyment they had in Olam Haza when they did mitzvahs. That's the connection. Is that v'harei beis shepirushim eino sosrim kim davar echad heim b'shorsham. Says the Nesiv HaShalom that they're really interconnected, directly connected to one another. The Gemara's Pshat of V'chai Behem Shal Yomos Behem is telling us that we have to live our mitzvahs. We have to enjoy the mitzvahs when we do them with excitement, do them with a simcha. And that's in order that what? We can have the Chai Alma that Unklo says, we can have the Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, then the reward that we get will also be a Chai Bahem. It will also be something that we enjoy, something that we get pleasure from, something we'll go ahead and be happy with, and not something that we're just there and present and just showing up. But that's a beautiful idea from the Nesiv HaShalom and a perspective on mitzvahs in general of a Chai Bahem. You have to make the mitzvahs here. You got to make them alive. You got to do them alive. So just to conclude the last night, the last part for tonight, is on the pasuk, and we'll say it quickly, just so we don't go too late. Pasuk in Perek Yates, pasuk Yizayin, lo sisna es achicha bevavecha echech tachicha samitecha lo sisa alochet pasuk Yiches lo sikam lo sitar es bnei amecha v'hatarecha kamocha ani Hashem. You shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. You should surely rebuke your brother. You have to rebuke your fellow. You shall not bear sin on his account. You shouldn't take revenge, bear a grudge against members of your people. You should love your neighbor as yourself. I'm Hashem. There's a lot packed in here. You could probably give a few days of shiurim just on these psukim. But just to focus on one aspect, and we spoke about, I think it was last week, when we were talking about Lashon Hara and Saras. And somebody at the end of the shiur mentioned that they were explained that if someone does something bad to them, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And that's really what we're going to focus on here in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in the mitzvah in Reish Mem Aleph talks about lo sikum, the iser of taking revenge. Why can't I take revenge? If somebody does something wrong to me, so let me do it wrong back. Somebody, I ask someone to borrow a knife, and they won't give me the knife. So when they ask me, can I borrow a knife, I should say no too. You wouldn't give me a knife. Now take a little taste of your own medicine, right? That's the kind of culture we live in sometimes in America. So here's a little dose of what you gave me, I'll give it back to you. Says that, say it's an isser. It's prohibited. You can't do that. But it seems logical. So says the chinuch. Mishar shei mitzvah. What's the source? What's the root of the mitzvah? Shei da adam v'yitein elivo ki kol asher yikro mitov ad ra. The person needs to know in their heart that everything that happens to them from good till bad, husiba shetava Allah meyes Hashem baruch hu. It was caused that it should happen to them from what? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'miyara adam yad ish echav lo yiyah davar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch hu. Nothing can happen to a person without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kein kishitziro o yichveu adam yada benasho ki avanaisav garmu v'shem yisbarach gazar ala bekach. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. These words of the chinuch are extremely powerful. When a person has wrong done to them, is pained by another person, they should know in their soul that it's really their sins that caused them to have that bad thing happen to them. And Hashem was gozered upon them. That's why that person said something nasty to you and ticked you off. That's why the person punched you. Hopefully we don't get punched. Mulamaisa, that's why the person made a comment to you that was really insulting and hurt your feelings. Ulyashis machshavaisa of limko mimenu. And you shouldn't have any thoughts of having revenge. Kihu eno sibas raso. Because he's not the cause of the bad that happened to you. Kiha avon hu mesavev. The sin that you did is the cause of it. So Sefer HaChinuch explains this mitzvah in that way. Mitzvah of not taking revenge is because when a person does something wrong to you, you can't take revenge on them. You have no right to do that. Because it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that went ahead and made that gzerah. And this plays an interplay a huge amount with Bechira in general. And it's very difficult to try to understand how this means. It's to say that I as a subject I am not, there's no bechira for anybody else when they do something to me, but I have bechira to do to others. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, I think, the way I understand it. Is that me, myself, if things are done to me, I have to view them as, it wasn't necessarily bechira. I mean, maybe that person chose to do it, but they were shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem sent them, so they have bechira, but the Ribbono Shel Olam sent them to do that to me. That's a very, very radical approach, but if you live with this philosophy in life, and you're able to really digest it and walk around with it day in and day out, a person can go ahead and really live a life where they're happy. They're besimcha. They realize that everything they have, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the good and all the bad. And that's really what the Chafetz Chaim will conclude. The Chafetz Chaim says on this as well, Ein lo la'adam l'israim ha'chavir ha'shalo asa imo toiva. Don't be upset with your friend that he didn't do something good for you, Allah. Or you asked your friend to borrow money, you were short on cash, and you went ahead and asked him for some money, and he wouldn't lend it to you. Because if a friend doesn't say yes to you when you ask him for a toiva, even though you think he's your best friend, and of course he should say yes, and he's supposed to be there for you, and he's supposed to have your back, it's not him who doesn't have your back. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want that good thing to happen to you. Look at Rashi and Yuma and Nina coming to Tira. The guy in Echad Yemshil, he quotes a mashal. I didn't actually read through this beforehand. I just saw the beginning. But the mashal is as follows: the Echad Shetzarich Liish Sheshmo Ruvain. Person needs a man named Ruvain. V'shal Anashim Efa Ochel Limtzas Ruvain. He asks people, "Where can I find Ruvain?" V'anu Lo Shemimakom Plani Limtzak Kavetz Anashim. He says, "If you go over there, you'll find a group of people. Ulay Yeshnu Benem. Maybe Ruvain's amongst them." So the guy goes and looks for Ruvain and he can't find him there. Says the Chafetz Chaim, are you going to now go over to that group of people that the person sent you over to and say, why is your name Shimon? Why is your name Levi? Why are you Aaron? Why are you Jonathan? Why are you Aaron? Why are you Jeffrey? Why aren't you Ruvain? No, what are you? Meshugana, you'd be sent in the hospital. You'd be in a psychiatric ward. You're going to go look for the real Reuven. So too, says the Chafetz Chaim, is the same thing here, a beautiful mashal. The reason you shouldn't get upset with a person who goes ahead and won't do something good for you, you asked them for a favor, you asked them to borrow money, you asked them to borrow something for your toy that your child wants from their house, and they didn't say yes. Same thing. It's not the person that's saying no to you. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. You go over there, you look for Reuven, and it's Shimon and Levi and Yehuda. So you can't get upset at those people because they didn't. The guy sent you to go find them. It's now you have to go to the person, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and ask him for it because he's the one that wanted to do good. So what do you do in the mashal? You go back to the first person that asked, he told you where to go, and say, there was no Reuven there. I couldn't find what I needed to, what you told me to look for, that it wasn't there. Do you know where else you would be? You have to go to the source. And the source of it is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The source of all good in the world is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for our good. And we have to remember that everything that happens to us is good too. Even if we think it's bad, we think it's something that's hurtful, we think it's something that's detrimental to us. It's not. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam helping us achieve our shlemus. He's giving us a nisayon. We're living now in a time where it's one of my rabbanim keeps calling it, it's mamish a laboratory of nisyonos, of what we're dealing with. With all the nisyonos and the stresses and the pressures, and some people are handling it better than others, but what we deal with our kids at home and our families and being around everyone constantly and not having jobs, some of us, or having pay cuts, and it's mamish constant, a laboratory of nisyonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam throwing one nisyon after the next at you. But remember, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's ultimately all for our best, even if we don't understand how. Everyone, shkoyach on listening. Thanks for joining, and have a beautiful, wonderful Shabbos.